Well, good morning, everybody. This is Bob Ilson. We're set as usual for our Sunday morning show. And this is a big day for baseball at Wrigley Field, where the Cubs still have a shot at it. And they have a big twin bill today with Houston, a tough ball club. And we're delighted to have their fine manager, Bill Verdon, as a guest on our show today. He was a great ball player. He's been an outstanding manager in the major leagues. And we have many things to talk about. As you know, the White Sox are still on the road and will be on the road for a while. The Cubs are at home today, and that is one of the big doubleheaders of the year. And I believe there's still an opportunity to get tickets, so try to get out and see it. We'll be back with our guest, Bill Verdon, the manager of Houston, in just a moment. Bill Verdon was an outstanding player in the major leagues, and I broadcast a number of games that he played in. He's also had a fine record as a manager with the Pittsburgh club. He managed the Yankees to a great season in 1974, and that was the Yankees BT. That was before turmoil. And has now managed the Houston ball club, an exciting club and a dangerous club. When I say before turmoil, what do you recall about that 74 year with the Yankees? They played a lot of outstanding baseball that year, Bill.
Well, we started out pretty common. It was we won one, lose one early in the season, but about the middle of August, seems like things started falling together and Munson started hitting, Mercer was hitting well, and the club as a whole and the pitching continued to get better, and Lyle started pitching well in relief. And the last 33 games, I think, or last four, out of the last 41 games, we won 30 games, I believe, and put us into the race and give us a chance to win, although we failed in one big series against Baltimore. They beat us three in a row that really kind of made the difference in the season.
Did you enjoy managing the Yankees?
I think it was a great experience. The exposure in New York is tremendous. The media and the press and the people with that type of job that you have to deal with. There's probably 10 to 20 times as many people that you talk with and deal with in that city that you would with any other city in the major leagues.
Did you ever anticipate what's happened with the Yankees now?
Well, I'm really not on the scene. There has been a lot of copy about the situation there, and it's really tough for me to make any great comment or anything intelligent comment about the circumstances there. So I think I'll just let that to the people that follow the club.
Well, they have a lot of talent over there, and of course, a lot of those players that are still over there played for you, right?
Yes, several of the players are still there that I had when I was managing, and several good players. I think they have a fine ball club.
Now, you had some exciting years, very exciting years with Pittsburgh, one especially exciting, and you played over there, and you managed Pittsburgh, and they had some outstanding ball players.
Yeah, I spent 10 years, I was 11 years in the major leagues as a player. 10 of those years were spent in Pittsburgh. Most of them were spent under Danny Murtaugh, who is since deceased, outstanding person, outstanding manager, and really, I think, probably led me into the managing field. He was a great friend, and I enjoyed every minute of the time that I spent with him. Not only played with him, but I coached for him the last couple years of his life, or the last couple years that he was managing before he dropped out for a while and then came back. Pittsburgh started in down when I went there in 1956. We finished last. And I think 1957 we finished last. But from 58 on through 65, the years that I think we had a very competitive club. We won in 1960 and finished second, third, and fourth the rest of the time, and we're in the race most of the time.
That 1960 had to be one of the most eventful years of your career.
Well, and I look back over my career, I think I enjoyed that year, enjoyed remembering that year more than any other year that I've spent in baseball. I think there's one thing a professional athlete likes to do, and he likes to be somewhere along the line to be a part of a championship ball club. And fortunately, I was able to do that with the 60 club. We had a lot of good ball players, a lot of steady players, Mazeroski's, Don Hoke's, Dick Groats, Dick Stewart's, Rocky Nelson, Hal Smith, Smokey Burgess, Roberto Clemente, Bob Skinner's, and Simoli's were all part of that club. Haddix's and Mizell and Friend and Law. I can look back, and there's so many things happened during the course of that year that was in our favor. We won something like 30 or 40 games coming from behind in the last two innings. And the writers were even saying during the season that they were going to not come to the ballpark until the seventh inning because nothing happened till then.
Mizell got into politics, didn't he?
Yes, he ended up being a representative from the state of North Carolina and spent a couple terms in Congress in Washington. A very capable person, good speaker. If you really didn't know him well, you wouldn't believe that initially.
As a player and as a manager, you've been fortunate enough to see some of the game's greatest players. How did Roberto Clemente, for example, rate with guys like Willie Mays and some of the other greats that you've seen?
Well, the talent was very similar. I think the only difference in that type of player is one player will hit more home runs than the other, and Mays was more oriented for power. Clemente was more of a singles, doubles, triples hitter and didn't produce quite as many runs as Mays did. But nobody could play the outfield better than Clemente. Nobody could throw better than Clemente. Nobody had better instincts than Clemente. And I think as a percentage hitter, he was better than Mays. He led the league something three or four times and was always up in the race, always over 300 every year he played. He was what I remember being in Chicago. I remember he used to beat the Cubs almost continually by getting base hits in this ballpark. He loved to play in Chicago in Wrigley Field. But he was a great player. And really the one thing that I can say about him that would really make an impression on you is he was 38 years old the last year he played. And there has never been anybody play the game at 38 years old that could play it better than he could. He could still run and throw and field with the best of them at 38 years old. Nobody can do that.
Well, that really is amazing. We're talking with Bill Verdon, the manager of the Houston Ball Club. Now, when you were at Pittsburgh, you had a powerhouse over there. This year, of course, you've been unfortunate. You lost one of your best players early in the season.
Well, we lost to Daniel for about three-fourths of the season. He may be back for four or five games before the season's over. We'd like to get him in the lineup and let him play a couple games, let him get his feet on the ground so he'll get rid of the fear of whether he's going to be able to play again and not have to worry about it all winter. But as far as his services, really, has been lost for three, four seasons. A great player, good all-around player. He can run, he can throw, and he can field, and he can hit for power. And I look for him. He's still just 27 years old, and I look for his greater years to be ahead of him. And I don't think the injury is going to be anything permanent. The doctors assured us that he'll be able to come back 100%, and we're fortunate in that respect. The year's been a little disappointing as far as Houston Astros is concerned. We haven't won as much as we thought we would going in, but we got a young club. We got a club we feel like is going to mature, and we feel like that our time is going to come in the near future.
Well, Bill, that's really what you have to do today. You have to build a club. An example, the American League, Detroit, they've come a long way this year with a young ball club that they've built up, and they've stayed away from the high-priced superstars. And while it's a longer process, there certainly is a payoff when you finally accomplish it.
Well, one year of a winner makes up for a lot of losing years, and that's really what we all work for. I've been in Houston 3 years, and we started 3 years ago. We were something like 40 games out of first place. Well, we've made progress, but this year we seem like we've fallen back a little bit. But the main thing we have and the main concern we have is sometime in the next two or three years we can compete with these better clubs in our division. And that's what we're working for. And in order to do that, you gotta play youngsters. You gotta let them get the experience. You gotta let them compete against these better ball clubs and hope that you can weed out the people that aren't able to do it and put the ones that are able to compete into the lineup and let them pitch against those clubs and hope that 2 years time that we can win a pennant or put a winner in Houston. I think that's what Houston needs. That's what Chicago needs. We need to bring these players along. And I really think the Cubs have done a great job this year, and that's what we hope we can do. And they have stayed in the race, and they've made it interesting, and that's what the people in the cities want. They want something to look forward to with a chance to win. When you're 3.5 games out at this stage of the year, you got a chance to win it. I don't care who you're playing against. If you've played that well up to this point, then things can break your way, and you can win a pennant, and the Cubs could win. I don't personally know that they will, but they have that chance.
Bill, how good a ball club is Philadelphia?
Philadelphia's a good ball club. They're a good all-around ball club. Their biggest problem this year is they haven't been able to win on the road. But I don't think there's a club in your division that's better. I don't think Pittsburgh is better than they are. I don't think your club's better. Your Cubs are better. But I think with them being close, I think I still have that chance to win it. The Phillies happen to have a bad streak in September. Well, either your club or Pittsburgh, either one could catch them. But I really would have to pick Philadelphia if I was going to pick a club.
There is a shade of opinion that thinks that the L.A. Dodgers are perhaps the best balanced club in the major leagues.
Well, I think probably if you include every facet of the game, pitching, defense, running, and all around, I think probably L.A. is more well-balanced than any club right at this point. I like Cincinnati's club on the field. The eight players that they put out on the field when they're healthy, I like that club as the best eight players playing. But their pitching is short, and they're not. I don't think they can catch the Dodgers now that they're that far back. It's just it looks like a Dodger year, and I really personally am rooting for San Francisco. But it looks like the Dodgers.
So is everybody.
I'd like to see a change also.
Yeah.
I think the country would love to see the San Francisco Giants win it. It's been exciting the year they've had, and they've proven that you can put a lot of people in the ballpark out there. I used to think that area was dead. It was a football area, but the way they've been packing him in this year, and Vida Blue's having a fantastic year.
He sure is. He's a fine pitcher, and that's what puts people in the stands is a club that is an interesting club, a club that hustles and works at it and stays in the race and shows you that they can compete with the better clubs. That's what Houston needs to do, and that's what your club has done this year.
Do you think that spring training period is a too long period?
No, I don't think spring training is too long. I do think it's possibly too long for a 21-year-old or a 22-year-old or a very young player and don't need 6 weeks to get ready to start the season. But anytime you've got 30-year-old players on your club, 30 to 35-year-old player on your club, they need all the time they can get in spring training to get everything working and back in order so they can withstand the grind of 162 games. I'd hate to think I had to start a season with a couple pitchers that were 32 years old and only had a couple weeks to get them in shape. They just would not be ready. And
Bill, would you like to see the length of the regular season shorten?
Well, it's tough for me to answer that. At times I think 162 games is too much, but physically athletes can do a lot more than they think they can do. 162 games is really not too much. It's more mental than it is anything else. The fact that you have to go out there day in, day out, and you have all the travel and so forth, it gets to be tough. We could play with less, but with the economics of the game the way they are, well, I think probably the management needs 162 games to stay even, to stay up on top of the salaries they have to pay. So it's really tough for me to say one way or the other. If I was a player, I would want less games. If I was in management, I would want more games so I could help pay for the salaries and the freight. So it's one of those things that have to be worked out between management and players.
Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is an old friend, a former outstanding ball player, and now the manager of the Houston Ball Club, Bill Verdon. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Bill, you were born in Michigan in Tigertown.
Yes, I was born in a suburb of Detroit, Hazel Park, Michigan, and from there moved to Royal Oak and then on to Rochester, first 11 years of my life.
How come the Tigers never corralled you as a ball player?
Well, they were always first in my thoughts when I was younger, and I even followed them after I moved to Missouri. But when I moved from Detroit, my folks were originally from Missouri, and they moved back to Missouri, and that's where I went to school. And at the time that I was signed, I was just interested in signing. It didn't really make a lot of difference who it was with. The Yankees were there and made an offer, and that's who I signed with.
Bill, what happens with managers, and there are managers who have ball clubs that finish 30 and 35 games out at the end of the season. Is that one of the tough problems of managing a ball club, to try to keep them up day after day when actually you're not going anyplace?
Well, I think that is situation gets tough in September when you're out of the race and there's nothing really driving you or making you get up for every game. That's one of the bigger jobs a manager has, is to keep those players putting forth the effort, and that's the really criteria of a professional athlete. You find an athlete that can go through a season as such and give you 100% every day, then you got an athlete that you want around. And that's what we look for. Even though we have to push some of them, we have to push them as a club over during those stretches. Well, we also look for the people that don't have to be pushed in that situation. They're the ones that are going to end up on your winning ball club.
I can remember the days when there was the Eastern League and the American Association and the Pacific Coast League and the Southern Association and everything else. They were natural feeders for the big leagues. What's happened to the structure of, and what is your affiliate in the minor league? Do you have that sort of a thing where they can come up step by step to Houston?
Well, we have three classifications plus a rookie league. Your classifications are about the same. You have rookie league, you have A league, you have double A league, and you have triple A. Now, there aren't near as many of those clubs as there used to be. Each club used to have, I'd say, in the neighborhood of 10 minor league clubs. Today, they only have 3 and 4. And the reason I think you find that is they're playing younger players in the major leagues today. The talent is spread out. You got a lot more clubs involved. You got 26 clubs involved now, and you used to only have 16. And the clubs are not, the minor league clubs are not financially paying for themselves, and they have to be more or less subsidized by the major league clubs. And back years past, when we were breaking in, when you had 10 to 15 clubs in each organization, most of those minor league clubs were paying their own way. And you could afford to go out and establish a minor league club and let it play its own freight and develop ball players. Today they're not going to sign will not sign the fringe player. The only players they will sign today is people that have definite major league talent. They're not going to take any extra chances on any of the fringe players, where occasionally back years past they would find a player would come out of those fringe sign players, one that nobody ever suspected would be a major league player would come along. Well, we're missing those today just because there's no place for them to play.
Bill Burden, your team plays all their home games in the dome where they're practically unbeatable. If you had your choice day by day, do you prefer that? Would you prefer that over the sunshine at Wrigley Field, playing in the outer doors?
Well, Bob, it would depend on the elements. In Texas, during the summer, June, July, and August, it's about 98 degrees and about 95 humidity. I think I'd rather play in a dome where it's 70 degrees and the elements are all perfect. Now, if the weather outside was 70 degrees and the humidity was about 40% and it was Wrigley Field, I would prefer that, yes. So it kind of depends where you are, whether I want the dome or not.
What have they made any study as to the reaction of a ball hit in a dome stadium inside rather than outside? Does it take off more? Is it you don't have? I've heard the reference, for example, well, the air is dead today, then nobody's going to hit a home run. What about in the dome? Is it always the same?
Well, we don't have the wind to contend with in there, that's for sure. It never blows out and it never blows in. One thing we have to do in the dome, you have to hit the ball. There's nothing that will make it go out. If you hit it well enough to go out of the ballpark, it'll go out. If you don't, it won't. Now, in Wrigley Field, you can hit a ball exceptionally well when the wind's blowing in and it won't go. Or you can hit a ball halfway decent and the wind's blowing out, it'll go ahead and be a home run. We don't have to put up with that in the dome. It's very stable, very certain, and I don't know which is best. It's one of those situations that we have learned to live with, and the clubs that come in there and play have to live with. We have to come into Wrigley Field and live with the elements as the wind blowing in or out. And that's one thing a professional athlete has to do. He has to adjust. He's paid to adjust, and that's what we try to do.
What kind of turf do you have?
We have the AstroTurf. It's a synthetic turf, and originally they tried to grow grass under the dome. But in order to get the light in, they had to leave the roof. It was open and glass, but in order for the grass to grow, they had the light. And if they left the light in, why then you couldn't see the ball when it was in the air because of all the structure, and so they had to end up painting the roof, and that killed the grass, so they had to put AstroTurf in.
What are the dimensions in the dome?
410 and 340. 340 down the lines, 390 in left, and 410 in center. And
that's pretty fair.
It's pretty uniform. It's about the same size.
People ask, foolishly, why aren't all dimensions the same in all the ballparks? Well, geography and the ground where the parks are built different. They can't have every place the same.
Well, that was the original reason, because ballparks were put up in areas that were restricted. It's like old Busch Stadium in St. Louis. They had a short right field fence, and Ebbets Field in Brooklyn had a situation different. The newer ballparks, the modern ballparks, are pretty well uniform, and there's really very little difference. But I think there's a place for the old unique parks that like Boston and so forth. They won't move them out, no.
They'd make a big mistake if they changed in Boston. They're at the 2 million mark right now, and they can only seat, I think, 32,000 a game.
That's right. They just fill it every day. Yeah. They have a good baseball city, and they have a good ball club.
Yeah, it's really great. And here at Wrigley Field, they could. There's been talk of why don't they put lights in? I think they'd make a big mistake if they put lights in. Nothing nicer than going out there in the sunshine like today. You're playing a doubleheader today.
No, I enjoy the sun, and I don't mind. It isn't necessary, as far as I'm concerned, to have lights. I just soon play at daytime. And I do draw people in the day.
Yes, they certainly do. Bill, there's going to be a meeting in a year or two between the baseball owners and the Players Association. What do you see coming out of that? Anything that would change a little bit today? Everybody talks about outfielders getting $600,000 and $700,000 a year. You never made that kind of money, and you were a pretty good ball player.
Not hardly. What's going to come of it? I can't answer that. I don't begrudge anybody that's making that kind of money. I think the money, if it's made available, the owners are willing to pay it. Why, I don't think there's anything wrong with the players trying to get it. I do think it's going to create a situation where you might end up having some clubs go out of business. I think there's been some money spent foolishly. I think they need to sit down and try to iron out their problems and try to get it back on a even scale, if that's the right words. But if they can make $600,000, I'm all for them. That's, if their talent will justify that and the owners are willing to pay it and they feel like they can afford that kind of money, that's their business. But I am afraid that they better level off a little bit, because I think it's going to create some problems as far as bankruptcy in some situations if they're not careful.
Yes. What about pitching? McCarthy and Stengel used to tell me 75-80% of the game. How do you view the percentage?
Well, that figure is good enough for me. I think it very definitely is the reason you win. You have to have it or you can't compete with major league ball clubs. If your pitching's not respectable and they don't give you a chance to win, you're wasting your time. Now, you can't win with pitching alone, don't get me wrong. You got to have all the other facets of the game. But the one thing that will give you a chance of winning is good pitching. And if you don't have it, you just forget it. You can look at the Cincinnati Ball Club. They have, in my opinion, they have the best 8 people playing when they're healthy. The field, but they cannot win a pennant unless they have pitching that will keep them in a race, keep them close. And that's the name of the game, as far as I'm concerned. That's where you have to start your building.
Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is Bill Verdon, the manager of the Houston Ball Club. They play a doubleheader today at Wrigley Field. It'll be a big, big day of baseball. Try to get out for that double bill. The Cubs still have a chance, but they've got to put together a winning streak. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. We're delighted to have Bill Verdon, a former great player in the major leagues, manager of the Yankees in 1974, manager of Pittsburgh for many years, manager of Houston. What kind of a baseball town is Houston? You know, they talk about this town is a good baseball town, it's a better football town and all that sort of thing. I've always viewed Houston as a good all-around sports town.
I think it's a good sports town. I think what we need is a winner there. I think a club that can compete and stay in a race all year, and Houston will draw exceptionally well. We have gone over a million this year, and we really have had a disappointing season as far as I'm concerned. We thought we would do better, but they have still supported us basically. And if we can come up with a winner or a club that can compete and stay in a race all year, why, we will be way up there with the top drawers in the league. It's a club that's been there for 17 years, and they haven't had a winner, and they're dying for one. And you know how Texans are. They like to be first in everything. And when they come up with a number one ball club, why, they're gonna back it, and they're gonna come to the ballpark.
You have one of the most talked about pitchers in the league. He pitched the first game of the series against the Cubs. Didn't last too long, but this guy's really got talent.
He is an outstanding talent. He's got a great arm. He throws the ball somewhere 97, 98 miles an hour. He's got an outstanding breaking ball. Yesterday, nothing seemed to be working, and the Cubs seemed to be hitting, and it just didn't work out for us. But he's leading the league in strikeouts. He's got somewhere in the neighborhood of 250. He's got a shot at 300 strikeouts a season. No right-hander in the National League's ever done that. So I've had to say he's one of the premier pitchers around.
Bill, thanks very much for taking the trouble to be with us today, and good fortune to you and the Houston Astros.
Thank you very much. Pleasure talking with you.
Thank you. Our guest today has been Bill Verdon, the manager of the Houston Ball Club. They're at Wrigley Field today for a doubleheader. Try to get out and see that double, Bill, today. The White Sox, as you know, are still on the road and will be for a little while, but the Cubs are at home, and every game they played, well, you know how important it is. They were able to pick up Saturday, pick up a game on Philadelphia. Philadelphia lost again, but they've got to put together a winning streak, and that's the only way they're going to make it. Anyway, have a nice day, whatever you're doing. And now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Sunday at our usual time.